let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Letters from Mr. J.B. Factfinder is a book about history trivia, taking a look at moments in history and some of the people involved. You'll learn about corporate pioneers, how holidays throughout the calendar year got their start. You'll even take a look at some crazy laws across the country. Now, this is not your typical trivia book listing fact after fact, line by line. Each chapter has its own subject, and each subject is written in the form of a letter. There's a letter for each week of the year. These are stories that you will be sharing with your friends. Mr. J.B. Factfinder, Joe Boyd, is originally from Texas, where he was born and raised. A degree in business management, currently working as a purchasing coordinator for a mortgage company in Arkansas. Joe is an author who is passionate about history and trivia. He believes that history plays a very important role in all of our lives, and trivia is the fun side of history. Joe now resides in Arkansas. Letters from Mr. J.B. Factfinder, a weekly letter on history trivia, was a finalist for the 2020 Independent Author Network Book of the Year Award. And Joe W. Boyd, Mr. J.B. Factfinder, is our guest on This Week in America. Joe, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Looking forward to this conversation. Love what you've done with this book. Talk about the inspiration for the book. What led you to writing letters from Mr. Factfinder?
Well, it started as a phone call, really. I was talking to my mom about, we were talking about the schools that me and my brothers went to when we were growing up, and we were on disagreement on what year one was built. So I said, well, let me see what I can find out. I'll get back with you. While I was researching, I came across the website for the city, and it had some really interesting fun facts on there. So I copied those down and put it in an email back to my mom stating that I didn't find the day, but I found some interesting facts for you. And then I signed it Mr. Factfinder. That's how I got the book's name. But, I included the email to my brothers and a friend of mine that I grew up with. And I think brothers, they're part of the reason why they're put here is to give each other a hard time. And one of them made a comment about the Mr. Factfinder line. So I thought, well, I'll do a few more letters. And so I did that. And then later I told some people at work about them. I said, well, add me to the email. So that made me have to do some more letters. About 2 weeks after that, everybody kept coming to me and saying, hey, here you got this email you send out once a week. Add me to your email list. Well, this kept happening, and my email list kept growing, and it forced me to write more letters. And eventually, what started out as one phone call led to one email, I thought, which led to three emails, I thought, which then led to a year and a half of emails, which eventually led to a book.
Well, I guess we could say by popular demand is the reason you decided to write letters for Mr. J.B. Factfinder.
If I ever miss the weekend, they sure let me know about it.
I cannot see where they would be waiting for this email to come. Sometimes you dread getting emails. This is one of those you'd like to mark and you can't wait to get because it's so interesting with all the facts you have in there. Our guest is the author, Joe W. Boyd. His website is very simple, authorjoeboyd.com. You can link on that website for us is thisweekinamerica.us, book available as well as pageturner.us, all of the usual places. How do you decide what topic to write about? That first one was you were back researching a school for your mother. As you expanded this, the emails now into the book, how do you decide on topics?
Well, I choose a topic that I feel will probably be sure to have a lot of interesting information. But also each, before the letter is written, it had to pass one major qualification, and that is there had to be at least one fact in there that would just make you stop and say, wow. And if it didn't have that, then the letter wouldn't be written. But I was usually always able to find one that would do that.
Tell me about the approach to this in terms of writing it. Describe your writing style. I love the way you write. All of the reviews I'm reading are like they love the way you present this. Again, it's not any typical fact-finding form that we expect to get. I mean, here's a fact, so big deal. They go on to the next paragraph.
Right.
You do stop and you think about what you just read, and you do it in a way where you balance information and education. How did you come up with this writing style?
I guess it's the main way. But I would describe it as direct. I don't use a whole lot of excessive words to get to the point, but one thing that's often mentioned in reviews and literary agents is it talks about the voice that the book has, and it's pretty consistent throughout. One major book company in the UK, in their review, they said it feels like you're just talking over a cup of tea, which is kind of what I wanted it to feel like we're just sitting there in a chair having a general conversation.
Well, that is. I hear your voice, and I can hear you telling me some of this information. We'll get to some of your favorites here in a few minutes. With us on the program is Mr. Fact Finder, Joe W. Boyd. He's the author of the book Letters from Mr. J.B. Fact Finder. Book available, pageturner.us, Amazon, all the usual places, a link on our website. Joe's website is author Joe Boyd, BOYD.com. What do you think sets your book apart from others in the genre? A lot of trivia books have been written over the last 15, 20 years, become very popular. Yours is different. Why do you think yours is different than the others?
Well, mainly like you stated earlier, for most every trivia book that you pick up is going to be line after line or fact after fact. Whereas this letter from Mr. Fact Finder, each topic is its own chapter, and each chapter is written in the form of a letter. And each letter, it's in three. There's three different sections to it. In the first section, we allude to what we're about to talk. We don't ever just come, hey, today we're talking about such and such. We just kind of hint around and work up to it, and then before we state exactly what it is. And in that first section, there may be a fact or two as well in there. And then in the second section, we list a few facts with the bullet points. Then in the third section, we talk about what we just read, what we thought, what you think about it, and what it makes you brings back memories to sometimes. And then we sign at the end, Mr. Fact Finder, just like a regular letter.
You know, thinking about this, trivia, the word trivia to some sounds unimportant. It's almost like a game. It's like just something we're throwing out there. But there is some importance to trivia, isn't there? It can be a very useful tool.
Exactly. Of course, all information is important.
Yes.
No matter how big or small. And the more information that you have, the better understanding of each topic that you have, and understanding of how they came about, what happened, how they overcame certain situations. I think trivia is the fun side of history. And believe it or not, there's some who don't care about as much history as I do. But I think like a history teacher, she could start the day off with trivia or two, and you just kind of get the class ready and motivated. And they may pique their interest, where eventually they'll start to appreciate history more and look forward to the class, which, of course, that could be used for any class, English or math, just to get the class in tune to what's happening. But everybody likes trivia, young, old, and whether you like history or not. Clubs have history night. You had the board game that was very popular.
Oh, yes.
But it just gives you a full understanding of what certain situations, what they had to face and how they overcame it.
Where did this passion for history start for you? Was this back in school? Were you one that you literally raced a history class to be able to get there and consume it all? Where did this start for you?
I think I had it my whole life when I was little. Now, my dad, he was a big history buff. And he read a lot of history books, and I just kind of fell in line with that, and I've just always really loved it. History, it answers the question why on so much about our country, our culture, and who we are, and why we think the way we do. It's just, I just find it very, very interesting. I can't get enough of it.
Joe W. Boyd, our guest on the program, he is the author of Letters from Mr. J.B. Fact Finder, book available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to pageturner.us and, of course, Joe's website, authorjoeboyd.com. You mentioned something interesting. I think back to some of the history teachers I had. Some were really good, told stories, and you really could follow it. Others were very dry. I could have read the history book and got as much out of it. This really sort of an instructional manual for teachers, isn't it? As you mentioned other subjects. It's all in the presentation. If you do it in a way that's interesting and informative and entertainment, you'll really capture the student's attention.
Right. I remember in college, I had one history teacher. When she came in, the very first thing she said was, "What's on your mind today?" We just talked about not necessarily anything related to the lesson, just maybe something we saw in the news
before
we did. And then the next year, I had a teacher who we're sitting there waiting for the teacher to show up. And as he walks in the door, he immediately goes into the lesson. And as he's walking towards the front, we're all scurrying around for a pencil and paper to take notes. And he's taking his coat off while he's giving the lesson. It was a big difference in the two classes. Of course, I did better in the first class.
Well, I can understand that engagement that you have when it's presented in a very positive enlightenment type of way. Our guest is Joe Boyd. Website is authorjoeboyd.com. What's the one thing maybe that surprised you the most while you were writing these letters and letters for Mr. Fact Finder?
I was really amazed at how so many items in our daily lives, at home or at work or wherever, that they came about because of a mistake. It wasn't a plan, it was a mistake. Like, for instance, somebody were doing some research trying to develop an item that could record their irregular heartbeats. But when the person working on it, he accidentally put the wrong size resistor in it. And when he did that, he noticed that the circuit would pulse just like a heartbeat. Well, he worked on it a couple more years, and they ended up with the pacemaker. But, I mean, Coke was supposed to be a cure for headaches. Kodak was trying to develop a plastic gun sight lens, and they ended up with super glue. And then 3M, they were trying to develop a stronger adhesive tape, and they ended up with an adhesive that barely held paper together, and they came up with the Post-it note.
I was going to say, I do remember that, and I've read that about, I don't know, 10, 12 times over the years, and it's fascinating every time that I read that. And it's interesting how many mistakes led to discoveries, and you get all of that as you read this book by Joe, Letters for Mr. J.B. Factfinder, book available wherever books are sold, and his website, authorjoeboyd.com. I hate to ask you the strangest thing. You've probably had a number of them, but maybe what sticks out in your mind among the strangest things that you learned that fascinated you, Mr. Trivia, been doing this for years. What really surprised you?
A story about Dolly Madison. It's kind of a sad story, really. At the latter years of Dolly Madison's life, her finances were really meager. She had a hard time making her expenses. And Dolly passed away in 1849 at the age of 81. And when she passed away, there wasn't any funds for funeral and burial expenses. So her family had to raise the money. But the mistake they made was they put her son, which from a previous marriage, in charge of managing the money that they raised. He could barely take care of his own finances, let alone his mother's. But as they raised the money, he drank and gambled away the money. So in the beginning, they placed her casket in a temporary vault at the Washington Cemetery, which normally that would sit there for 3 days for the funeral. But yes, for Dolly, it was there for 3 years. And then in 1852, they moved the casket to another vault, which belonged to a niece of hers, where it sat there until 1858, where they finally moved her to Orange County, Virginia, where they had a family plantation, and she was laid to rest next to James Madison. But it was 9 years before she was finally properly laid to rest.
That's fascinating, and one of so many fascinating facts you'll find in Joe's book, Letters for Mr. J.B. Factfinder. I've got several I want to talk about here, but what are among your favorites that when you read them, I mean, you've done this, so you probably go, okay, that's interesting, move on to the next one. What really got your attention and had you stop, pause, and really think about?
That's a tough one. My favorite subject is Secretariat. I think that is an amazing animal, not just its athletic ability, but also its character and personality. But the Olympics are coming soon. One of the things we talk about is the first Olympics. And the first Olympics started in 776 B.C. And originally, they just had one event, and it was called a stade, S-T-A-D-E, stade. Now, a stade is also a unit of measurement, about 600 feet. So since the event was 600 feet long, they just referred to the event as a stade, which is what we would refer to as a foot race. So you have the event, which is called a stade. The length of the event is a stade, 600 feet. And the event and the place that the event took place in is what we today refer to as a stadium.
Ah, Now, okay, that's interesting. You have my attention. As you do with everything that you bring out in the book, Letters from Mr. J.B. Factfinder, one of my favorites that I enjoy in there, I was thinking about it as I was having a bowl of cereal this morning, is the origin of the different cereals. Talk a little bit about that, because it's shocking. We think cereal has always been there. How did this come about?
Yeah, I enjoyed that also. One thing that came in I thought was pretty interesting is the guy that, Corn Flakes was started by some brothers up north who had a hospital there, basically. They were doctors. And at one time, they tried to pass Corn Flakes as a health food. But the guy that later on developed shredded wheat, he worked for a farm equipment company, and he invented this machine for shredding wheat, which later he would become the one who came up with shredded wheat cereal. Now, previously for that, he at one time spent time in the hospital with the brothers who did Corn Flakes, and he just always remembered that. But I enjoyed the cereal stories as well.
All in Joe's book. The book is Letters from Mr. J.B. Factfinder. You talk about the Empire State Building there as well. We all are familiar with that. It's been around for years. Wasn't necessarily profitable in the beginning, was it?
No, I was surprised about that, too. But it wasn't profitable for a long time.
And you would think with everybody going there, and that's sort of the landmark for New York City, this would be just raking in the money. And we find in reading that book that that's not the case. I mentioned some strange laws that are out there, many of them still on the books. Let's talk about the one in Georgia and the mannequin. I love this one.
Yeah, I guess you could see a little bit of a point on that one, but I guess it's better to have a mannequin clothed than naked in the window.
And if you don't, you could get into big trouble in Georgia. That's just one of many laws that are out there described as kooky, and I think that best describes some of these. And I love the bees that spell out Studebaker in Indiana.
The trees, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was interesting.
You're
supposed to be able to see that on the Google Maps. No, I probably wouldn't ever find it, but you're supposed to be able to.
I'm going to go look at that and see the formation there. And then Beethoven, known for his music, he was also known for something else he enjoyed to do, wasn't he?
Yeah, he enjoyed cooking.
I wouldn't have, and I'm reading that, and I'm going, yeah, okay. How difficult is it for you? I was going to say, how difficult is it to come up with new ideas as you're writing this? But I'm almost thinking you could have so many of these that you could publish a whole series of books. Let's start with how difficult is it to go through and depict the items you're going to talk about, write about?
Well, of course, I did it over, like I said, a year and a half. It wasn't hard in the very end. I started. It was a little difficult. Kind of ran out of stuff that was good, but no, it wasn't really hard at all. There's a lot of interesting stuff out there that we just don't really hear about a lot. And, you know, to me, sometimes the trivia side is more fun and interesting than the main events. I thought about your main history, but they mainly get the main points, whereas the trivia gets the stuff that's a little more intricate and kind of brings it all together as well.
Well, and it ties things together and gives us, as you mentioned, a real chance to see who we are as a country, how this all fits together, and how sometimes you set out to do one thing, you end up accomplishing something else, and you're not aware of your doing that at that present time. This was the book. He had the emails, now the book. Do you still do an email from time to time?
I haven't. I have a Facebook page. Every now and then, I place trivia information on it from time to time.
How can we find you on Facebook?
Just Mr. J.B. Factfinder.
Very simple to do.
Go right to it.
Mr. J.B. Factfinder. And this book, will there be a sequel to this?
Possibly.
Well, I hope so. All of America is wondering and wanting to know if there will be another one. What kind of response are you getting? I'm reading the reviews, and people just are in love with this and the presentation and the information and Again, these are facts you can't wait to share with friends. What kind of response are you getting?
It is always, from the beginning to now, it has been very positive. It's like, you know, like I said, talking about how it got started. It wasn't necessarily a book that was planned, but it's a book that kind of came to life on its own and just kept growing, and just positive things just continued to keep happening.
What advice would you give to someone like yourself when you were starting on this project, probably not quite sure what to do, how to go about it, what the whole challenge was going to be like of taking this and taking these emails and put it into a book form? What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out writing that really needs that encouragement to get them to go to the next level, which is doing it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say one thing. They talk a lot about how my book has a certain voice to it. I would say that's probably a good idea to have that with your book as well. It gives it some individual, sets you apart from others. Once you get that book completed, be ready to go to work. There's a lot out there. I want to get some, try to get some reviews, get an idea how people are receiving your book, and understand it's going to take some patience. I mean, you're playing the long game here, so just be patient. And it takes a lot to wake the world up to what great things you have to offer them. So just keep at it.
And it's always amazing when people realize, wait, there's more to this than just writing it. As you've, I'm sure, found out,
exactly.
You write it, now you've got to get published, now you do editing, now you need a book cover, now you need distribution, now you need marketing. You've got all of that that go beyond the creative part of it, which is writing the book in the first place.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people refer to the writing of the book as the fun part, and after that is the work.
I can certainly understand that. A minute or so left here. I want to go back to something that I think is important for other writers and interesting for readers of your book. How did you find that balance between informative and educational? You're taking something that's, by its very nature, somewhat educational. We're learning something in the process, but the presentation makes it not only informative, but entertaining as well. Mm-hmm. How difficult was it to find that balance? And are there times when you would have to go back and maybe punch it up a little bit to make it more entertaining?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried to add a little humor into it here and there. My wife tells me I'm not funny, but...
Well,
hopefully others will find something to laugh about.
Give her an autographed copy of the book. She will find humor in the book. Maybe not in real life, but her book, a book may do that. Well, it's something you strive for. Have you thought about teaching history on the side, a little part-time job with this? Or I would love to have you as a history teacher.
I hadn't thought about that. You know, it probably would be fun.
Well, you do an excellent job in this presentation. It's Letters from Mr. J.B. Factfinder. The author is our guest, Joe Boyd, B-O-Y-D. His website, very simple, authorjoeboyd.com. Book available at pageturner.us, of course, the usual places. Link on to the author's website, Joe's website at authorjoeboyd.com. And Joe, it's been fun having you on the program. Hopefully there'll be an opportunity to do this again. Excellent work on the book Letters from Mr. J.B. Factfinder. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. Letters from Mr. J.B. Factfinder, Joe Boyd, the author. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, Joe's website, authorjoeboyd.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.